Thank you for downloading Producer's Pick from Sounds True, a podcast dedicated to bringing you moving, captivating, and intriguing selections from our programs. In this podcast, the producers at Sounds True have chosen a selection from a program they worked on, which caught their attention as a unique or special moment in the recording process. This week's episode, The Miracle of Redemption, comes from the audio program Resurrecting Jesus with Adyashanti. Mitchell Clute, a producer at Sounds True, was with Adya in a studio near Santa Cruz, California for this recording. Here's what Mitchell has to say about this week's producer's pick.
Resurrecting Jesus is so full of spiritual insights that I could have chosen any number of producer's picks, but this intimate look at Jesus' death, as described in the Gospel of John, is one of my favorite moments of the program. Here, Adya shares the well-known scene of Jesus crucified between two criminals, but unpacks the story in an utterly fresh way, showing how Jesus mirrors back to us our own divinity and points us to our own capacity to recognize that divinity within ourselves. This ability of Jesus to show us our own true nature, Adya says, is the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of redemption.
You can download the entire program, Resurrecting Jesus with Adyashanti, at SoundsTrue.com. And now our producer's pick, The Miracle of Redemption with Adyashanti.
There are a few other reasons why the resurrection is such an interesting part of the story. One of those is that it stands somewhat unique amongst spiritual literature. Not that it wasn't an ancient idea, but the idea of Jesus' resurrection stands in contrast to, say, a lot of the sorts of spirituality that come out of the East, where the whole idea is to awaken from the world of time and space, to get yourself off the wheel of karma, to arrive at a state of spiritual enlightenment so that you will no longer be reincarnated into the world of time. The goal in some forms of spirituality is literally to leap off of the wheel of the dualistic world, transcend it so you don't have to come back to it. In Jesus' story, it's really just the opposite. In a certain sense, Jesus descends directly from the kingdom of heaven. He descends from enlightenment into the human condition. So this is signifying a way that spirit is not trying to escape from form, from matter, from the dualistic world that we move in and know and sense around us. But there's a way that spirit is giving itself, relinquishing itself out of love back into the world to bring that light of radiance into the world or to call it forth because, of course, it's already there. Nothing is separated from divinity. Nothing is actually other than divinity. And we find this same emphasis at the very end of the story of Jesus' life. Jesus' life ends on the cross. You could say the great release, the great transcendence of time and space. But once again, that's not where it ends. It culminates in the resurrection. Once again, Jesus comes back to the world of time and space. In the journey of awakening, when self has been dropped away, when self has been annihilated, there is a kind of experience of a kind of resurrection. It's almost like once again. It's not that we question or we wonder, but we realize a new orientation. In other words, that we, individually, we are no longer the center of our lives. That the life is no longer about oneself and satisfying oneself. Not even to arrive at some spiritual state of development. All that is over. I'm not saying that there is no more spiritual development beyond that. Who knows? But what I'm saying is the self-oriented life is over. That is what has died. The resurrection is, in a sense, depicting what comes after that, after the destiny of one's story is lived out, and yet there's still a life to lead. This is where really the story of the resurrection really provides a mirror. Something does come back. Something survives the death of self. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, it doesn't make clear what that is or what that looks like that actually resurrects. It just says, you know, Jesus has resurrected. Tell the disciples that they'll find him in Galilee. But individually, really what resurrects, what comes back to life out of the ashes of the death of self, is really something that's quite simple, but quite poignant. From that place, that really the only thing left to do is to be a benevolent presence in the world. And I don't say that because one wants to do that or tries to do that or that you're trying to be spiritual or anything. All of that are things that ego or self tries to do, tries to be. The ego tries to be spiritual or pure or compassionate or loving or all of that. But when all of that falls away, it's literally, in a certain sense, that there's nothing left to do. There's no life orientation that makes sense other than to be a selfless and benevolent presence in the world. That may happen on a big stage. It may just mean being a benevolent grandmother or mother or daughter or son or businessman or whatever. It doesn't have to look any particular way. The resurrected state can actually look quite normal. Of course, when we look at the life of Jesus, it gives us the impression that the whole spiritual awakened state always looks big and impressive and charismatic. But that's just what makes good storytelling. When it comes to the resurrection within oneself, it's something far quieter.